Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And one of our regular guests came by the studio this morning.
I'm always one to challenge myself. I love competing. It's the only thing that leaves me completely satisfied. There's nothing else like it. I'm definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, she is a force to be. I love that. And I love getting to talk to fierce women. Tiffany Faison, celebrity chef, restaurateur. This was from her 2020 appearance on the Food Network show Chopped, Beat the Judge. Back with us in the studio. Welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana. You guys find the like most hyped intros ever.
I love them. And I love the way you lean into them, right? You can almost see a little tinkle of smile in the back of your
Sort of. I mean, it's kind of my job when I'm filming stuff like that. I don't walk down the street being like, yeah, I'm a force to be reckoned with.
And yet, you are.
Okay.
Yes.
Sweet.
All right. So listen, you've been busy, and I was really intrigued by this. The first time you and I ever talked, we taped with you while you were in Kentucky.
Yeah.
At the Kentucky Derby, which like, okay, Kentucky. But then you just come back from Kentucky.
Yes.
So, hey, what is it with you in Kentucky?
I know. Louisville's becoming a theme in my life.
There you go.
I love Louisville. I really do. Every time I'm there, I have this moment where I'm like, I could live.
What do you love about it?
It is gorgeous, first of all. It is lush and green. The people there are so kind and proud of where they're from in a way that's not boastful. I mean, it's definitely pride-filled. It's a little boastful, but it's not in any way off-putting, and it's welcoming. It's their town, but it's your town when you're there, and there's a sense of that and that Southern hospitality that's so extraordinary. The food is unbelievably good. I just ate at a place called Red Hawk and had chicken that blew the back of my head off. But it just, it feels like a big Southern hug.
I just can hear everybody in Boston going, shut up.
Yeah, guys, I'm not going anywhere. It's fine.
So what were you in Kentucky for?
This last time I was in Kentucky for a food and wine festival, mostly, I'm sorry, not food and wine, food and music. It's always food and wine. Mostly music festival called Bourbon and Beyond. So incredible production company down there puts on this four-day show. It's Thursday through Sunday, and it's bands, and it's bourbon, and there's food vendors, and there's chefs that come down and do demos, and they pair up chefs with a lot of their either musical talent or the people that are doing podcasts. I did a demo with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guys. I did a burger bash with the Greta Van Fleet. Yeah, sorry, I can't talk right now. That's how like starstruck I was. And they could not have been sweeter people in all of the land. Like they were just this. They were down to make burgers and compete against each other, and it was just they could have been nicer or better.
So they're a hoot. They're for listeners who don't know, they're your young band. They came out of Michigan. I was born and raised in Michigan, and they literally named their band after an older adult woman who lived on the block, and they just thought she had a cool name.
Yeah,
right.
So they're so interesting. They're on the cusp of like they have conversations about LGBTQ rights all the time. They are young. They remind me a little bit of, like, Queens from the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. They wail. Like, I just haven't heard a band like that that has that, like, unabashed kind of 70s, like, just get after it, incredible rock and roll vibe like that. They're great.
I do want to give you a little bit of a YouTube clip we found from Alanis Morissette, who was also there.
Yes.
Here she is. Okay, so I wasn't expecting you to be rocking out to it the way you just were.
Guys, Alanis wrote the book for women in rock. I mean, not entirely. There are certainly people that came before her, but I mean, I could go on and on about Alanis Morissette and what she did and how she paved the way. And I think people still think she was kind of a moment in the 90s. I don't think we understand the architect that she was for saying, I'm not going to fit into this genre or this genre. It's okay for women to write weird lyrics that are self-expressive, edgy, a little angry. We get to express all of these emotions as well, stand her ground, and create an entirely new genre that then was, I mean, you know, record labels, executives were like, this isn't going to work. We'll see how this goes. And then she blew away every sales.
Pill.
Yes.
And that's the album. This song was You Learn. It did. And I mean, she did change the voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So the ham-handed pivot, but I actually am curious about this. Do you think you've beginning to get the power to do that for women in your industry?
Well, that was quite the segue. I hope
I
so.
I really wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the same way that, I'm not comparing myself to Alanis Morissette for the love, but I don't think people know in the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I think it's rare, and I think it's nearly impossible to know in the moment. I think what you do is you keep your head down and you keep running. And hopefully you knock down some walls and you run through some doors. And if there are women behind me that can in any way navigate or jump over the bricks that are left over or be able to make it in any way easier, then I'm doing my job. But it's not something, I mean, I think about creating space for women and I think about allowing women to be multifaceted. I still deal with it. I deal with it in TV more than I deal with it in the restaurant space. That's not true. I deal with it in both areas. In the restaurant space, I get, not frequently, but I get a lot of people that have opinions about me and my restaurants and how I run them and what I'm doing in my restaurants that they would not have with men. Where is she? How is she managing her time? I get a lot of, like, how do you balance it all that men never have. They just don't really get that question. And unfortunately, the first thing I do, because I get tired of it and I don't really love answering that question, and I don't want to be rude to people when they ask, I immediately say I don't have children. And then that shuts them down. It's like, okay, we'll take this category out of her life, and she clearly has time for all of these other things.
Kind of hurts my stomach.
I know. It's maybe not the best response.
No, it reduces you.
Right.
Right? It puts pressure on you to reduce yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's nuts if you think about it. But it's my way of saying I don't really want to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
If I'm happy to have a conversation around that if it's thoughtful and if it's methodical and it's thought about and it's approached in a way that is having a positive conversation about how do we all manage it and what does it look like to be able to have multifacets in your career and be able to succeed at them and knowing what's enough and where you want to go and how to navigate it. I'm not always happy to have the Joe on the street, like, how do you do it all? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, like, I just met you. I don't think it's really, this isn't a productive conversation. So I tend to shut it down if I don't have children.
Part of the reason that this really resonates, and this is why I love talking to you, because when we first started talking, we talked about the way television created an opportunity, but it also boxed you, really boxed you, developed a whole narrative about you that was myopic at best, right? You know, rah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot then about breaking out of that and to see someone who has made that journey be this willing to talk openly about those experiences and continue the journey publicly, that's generous. It's a gift, and it can't be particularly easy to do.
That's kind of you to say that it's generous. I don't think it's an option for me, right? Like, frankly, I'm totally unqualified to do anything else in my life. So cooking is kind of it. I didn't have the option of jumping out and doing something else. Maybe I did, but I didn't consider it. So to not talk about it, I think, would be disingenuous in a way that is not me. It would be putting it in a box and, frankly, not good for my heart, health, my mental health, or my soul to just pretend like that never happened. And I think there's also, yes, it was myopic. Was some of it kind of true? Like, had I grown up in really rough kitchens, yelling, screaming, that's the communication? Yeah, and so some of that was in me. It's interesting, I've recently reconnected with a friend that knew me back then 15 years ago, and we've had conversation about who we were then and how we've changed. And it's been interesting to kind of, we haven't spoken in 15 years, and I've been having a lot of this conversation recently about how I was then and that there were edges that needed to be rounded out. But I was also in my 20s, right? Like, we're trying to figure out how to live and how to be who we are. I don't think there's a lot of relaxing into yourself in your 20s, especially when you're really trying to build something professionally. So it's nice of you to say that it was generous, but I don't think there's another way. I think it's impossible to be forthright and open and transparent in your life without talking about how you get from A to, I don't know where we're at. We're not at Z yet, but maybe we're at like G.
What would Z be?
Well, I mean, Z is clearly in the grave, Tiziana.
Okay, so let's, what would X be? Maybe W.
WX is, I don't know, retired on a farm, enjoying my life and cooking whatever I want when I wake up in the morning. And I don't know, I say that, and then I'll probably, like, start a farm share.
Right. Yeah, you probably will. Yeah. And so, okay, so let's have some fun with this. What would tea be?
Tea would be, if we're just backing up from, like, what's the end goals that we're talking about? Like, what would I be really happy with at some point?
You've said before, you're basically starting to live everything you dreamed of.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here?
You continue to do it. And it's interesting, I haven't really had this conversation with anyone. I'm at the point in TV where I feel like I'm a young line cook again, right? I'm learning all these things about television and how to do this effectively and how to navigate and negotiate it. I would like to, at some point, produce a show. Like, I would like to be able to be on the back end of shows and start to be able to find people. It's not about me anymore. I mean, it is a little in some ways, but when I think about building restaurants, I think about young talent that I want to get behind and let them shine. And, you know, I'd like to continue to be in front in TV for a little while longer and then start thinking about, you know, doing that for someone else. So, you know, it's about kind of having your moment and then handing it to the next and letting the next generation of voices, like, really show us where to go.
You want to have a little fun with that?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So we, inspired by you.
Why am I nervous?
No, don't. Do not be nervous. So inspired by you, we tried something last week. We did something a little bit different.
Okay.
We brought in two local chefs. And we gave them a chance to do a little food throwdown. We gave
him
apple and make him. And so we had Chef Joe Gatto, who's a private chef, and he's a host of From Scratch on Pluto TV. Yeah, so okay. And then we had Chef Lambo Givens, right, who just beat Bobby Flay.
Yes, he did.
Right, he's executive chef of Hunter's Kitchen. So they came in. They were total gamers about this.
Yes.
They bring in these apple dishes. In the end, like I know, right, after I passed out with joy from eating them both.
I was going to say you win.
Right. I picked Joe's, but they were both amazing. And here is. So then they tried each other's dishes.
Okay.
And here's a little bit of Joe trying Chef Lambo's apple cobbler.
The flavor is so homey to me, and that the texture of the Johnny cake is ridiculous. I love that.
Yeah.
I really do. And the whipped cream just kind of finishes it off really nicely. It's definitely, I love how deep, and I'm going to actually take one more bite.
So he takes a bite, and then while he's just chewing and I'm chewing, Chef Lambo's eating his and talking about the caramel and the crunch. It was community.
Yes.
And they were raising each other up.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And it was really fun to watch local craftspeople enjoy each other's work and raise each other up. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it again next week.
Awesome.
I'm not going to say yet who the chefs are,
okay.
But... are we building that kind of community? There's been so much reporting, right? And so many stories about how awful the culinary industry can be. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's great potential here for this,
absolutely. We are inundated with a little bit of, we're inundated with stories about how tough the culinary industry is, for sure. But I also think that that's part and parcel with the excavation of getting that out of it. I don't know that we're going to get it out 100% ever, but I think, you know, greatest disinfectant is sunlight, right? So that's happening right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have to be able to compartmentalize that and put it aside and get rid of it and kick it out. At the same time, that allows us to dig deeper into what food truly does, which unites us. It allows us to share each other, our families, our cultures, our communities, and have communion in a way that allows us to all get closer to one another and share a space and a time. Like, you know, it's apples, right? So we're in that season, and it's not just each other that we're sharing. It's the moment in New England. It's the depth of flavors. And then comes conversation about, what did your mom make with apples, and what did mine, and
well, yeah,
what
Chef
else
Lambo,
can we do?
That was his part of his, I think, family. No, it was Joe. It was Joe's mother's recipe that he made.
Yeah. No, that is the greatest gift and the brilliance of food, that it truly does connect us and surprises us. It you know, we talk about it a lot as memories and moments and nostalgia, but it also can be surprising and delighting and new and fresh and inspiring in those ways, right? Like, it can be all those things at the same time, which is why I love it so, so much.
So I really want to get your thought on something really weird.
Okay.
Too. Okay. So
now I'm really nervous.
So here is a report from NBC News on a topic you may recognize.
You say sleepy chicken.
The FDA says it could make somebody accidentally take a dangerously high dose of NyQuil without realizing it, because obviously when you boil something, it's going to make it more concentrated. It could also change the way it works. If you inhale those NyQuil vapors while you're cooking, it could also hurt your lungs.
Okay, so obviously you knew where we were going. And I'm laughing, but I'm also like, what is going on? Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not until the kids started cooking Sleepy Chicken on TikTok. I mean, it's the new Tide Pods, right? Like, it's just...
And can we just say don't?
Don't. Right? What are we doing? I don't... First of all, no one wants to even take NyQuil when they have to, much less cook chicken in it. And we're going to put this in the, like, ridiculousness file and put it away and hope that people... I mean, obviously, warn people, please don't do this. It's really dangerous. It could kill you. I don't know where we get to this. I don't know. I think there's a lot of maybe things that people are consuming pre-NyQuil that we get to a point where, like, we think Sleepy Chicken's a good idea. I joked. I had a very long layover yesterday in New York, and I was very tired. And I got a little overtired. Or I got hyped, and I texted a friend and said, I'm going to make Sleepy Chicken when I get
home. So that she can sleep. Right, again, don't.
Don't make Sleepy
Chicken. But I will ask you then, the fun on this that I did when it got me to thinking as we were Andrea suggests that we ask you about this. I was like, yeah. And then I thought, okay, so what is the weirdest thing you've ever – ingredients you've ever added to chicken that you liked?
To chicken specifically that I liked? Chicken can take a lot. Oh, this is, we'll bring this back. Before I started cooking, when I lived in a house in Berkeley, California with like 8 other young women, mostly athletes at Cal, we were a mess. The house was gross. It was like bachelor. It was like Animal House. I used to make this dish called ranch chicken. I can't believe I'm saying this. Whatever. We all come from somewhere. And it was like chopped up onions and bell peppers and chicken, and I would just pour a bottle of ranch on it and bake it in the oven, and it was like the house's favorite dish.
Honestly, doesn't sound too bad.
It wasn't that. I mean, whatever. It's
not
fine.
Gonna lie.
Yeah, I would. I should probably do it again.
All right, the thing that's happening in your life in the next 2 weeks that you're most looking forward to.
There's so much. I'm working on opening the new restaurant that will take the space of Tiger Mama. We are so close to talking about what that is.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So I'm deep in like the last touches of design, and we've started construction with that. I'm really excited about that. Chopped is back. I filmed an episode 2 days ago. I'm back for a week. And then... That's 2 weeks.
That's a lot.
All right.
We have a lot going on. This is a Boston culinary superstar, friend of the show,
yes,
and force to be reckoned with, Tiffany Faison. Thanks for coming in.
No Sleepy Chicken. Thank you, Tiziana.